Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast with your hosts, Annabelle and Bill Pitcot. Today, we're doing a really important deep dive. We're looking at a bunch of sources all focused on one major shift.
It's all about how to transform exercise from, you know, this relentless chore.
Exactly. Into something that's genuinely joyful and maybe most importantly, something that's sustainable.
And we are specifically unpacking insights from the author Pitcot. We're drawing right from their resource, The Joy of Movement, 6 Dynamic Paths to Fitness.
The whole philosophy is just so powerful because it gets right to the heart of the problem for so many people.
That's right. It's consistency. That is the single biggest hurdle in long-term fitness.
Absolutely. So our mission today is pretty clear. We want to pinpoint the activities, the strategies that make fitness stick. Not because you have to do them, but because they feel like, well, like fun, like play.
It's not just an obligation. The core idea here is that the goal isn't just being active, it's actually enjoying the process of being active.
And this approach is, I think, perfect for you listening. You're looking for quick, but still really thorough knowledge. We're not just giving you a summary.
No, we're extracting the actionable bits, the psychological frameworks that really make these movement habits last.
Now, if this is sparking your curiosity and you want to see the full context for these ideas, this deep dive pulls its key info directly from Pitcot's best-selling ebooks.
And you can find those on our ebook store right now. These are really sought-after resources. They're designed to fundamentally change your relationship with movement.
It's that shift from something you have to do to something you get to do.
Exactly.
So we really encourage you to visit www.pitcot.com/books. You can download these best-selling resources there today.
While you're at it.
Oh, yes. Make sure you subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, and definitely activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Okay, so let's unpack that foundational idea that Pitcot lays out. Why is enjoyment so important? Why is fun the key ingredient here? Maybe even more than intensity or efficiency.
That's the fundamental question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The central finding is this. This psychological shift. When movement is fun, it stops being just an instrumental activity.
What do you mean by instrumental?
Something you do to get a result, like weight loss. It moves from that to what's called an autotelic activity. You're doing it just for its own sake.
Ah, so the activity is the reward.
Precisely. So instead of, you know, constantly checking your watch or the calorie tracker, you're immersed in the moment.
Which is basically what psychologists call the state of flow, right?
Exactly. The second exercise becomes a source of pleasure. It stops being about willpower and data points.
Mm.
The Pitcot resource really emphasizes that when you look forward to something, it builds positive anticipation.
And that anticipation is way more durable than just relying on guilt or some temporary burst of motivation.
It's a huge distinction.
Yeah.
Because it reframes fitness as, say, maintenance, not punishment.
And you feel the benefits right away. You move your body, your mood improves from the endorphins, and that boosts your motivation to come back and do it again. It's a positive spiral.
Built on genuine desire. That's what ensures consistency. If you dread your workout, you'll find 100 excuses to skip it.
But if you genuinely love that bike ride or that dance class,
the excuses just vanish.
Yeah.
And that consistency is what ultimately gets you the long-term results everyone wants.
So it's about ditching the dread.
And embracing the movement.
Okay, so the philosophy of fun is critical. But once you're mentally on board, where do you actually start moving?
Mm-hmm.
This brings us to what Pitcot calls the 6 dynamic paths to active happiness. 6 ways to move that actually feel good. Let's start with a classic that I think a lot of people underestimate. Cycling.
Cycling is such a brilliant starting point. The resource points out something kind of surprising.
Oh.
We all think of it as a leg workout, but it's actually a fantastic full body exercise.
Yeah.
You're engaging your core for stability, your upper body to steer, all while building powerful leg muscles and, of course, your cardio capacity.
I love that. And there's the sensory experience, too. The rhythm of the pedals, the breeze on your face. It can be almost meditative.
It is. And crucially, it is low impact.
Right. Your joints are protected from the pounding you might get from, say, running. That makes it so much better for longevity.
That low-impact feature is why you can do it for decades.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to the next path, we have probably the most accessible option in the entire world.
Jogging and walking.
Mm-hmm. You can't beat the simplicity. Mm-hmm. It works for every fitness level. You barely need any gear, just good shoes, and you can do it anywhere, anytime.
And Pitcot suggests starting with short, intentional walks, right? And then just adding little bursts of light jogging.
The progression's built right in. It feels achievable. And you can literally feel your heart and lungs getting stronger. That internal feeling of, hey, this is working, that's what the source calls the true engine of motivation for beginners.
Okay, so we've covered land, but what about water? That's one of the best environments for joyful movement, especially if you're worried about your joints. Path number three, swimming.
Pidcock describes swimming as being almost magic for the body. The water provides this natural full-spectrum resistance.
So it's a resistance workout.
A huge one. It activates your arms, legs, core, and lungs all at once. It is the definition of full-body engagement, but without the strain.
Because the water is supporting you.
It supports 90% of your body weight, so it's incredibly gentle. A fantastic option if you've got aches and pains or any joint issues. It's just deeply refreshing.
Whether we're doing laps or something like water aerobics.
Exactly. Then we shift gears completely to path number four, which is all about combining physical and mental engagement.
Racket sports.
Yes. Tennis, badminton, squash. These are activities that demand quick, explosive movements, but also intense focus.
Right. You're not just running. You're thinking. You're anticipating.
And that burns serious calories. But the mental challenge sharpens your reflexes, your coordination.
Yeah.
And you get that sweet dopamine-releasing satisfaction of hitting a great shot.
Oh, yeah. That feeling of your heart racing as you chase down the ball. That's pure joyful fitness disguised as a game.
Totally. Which leads us to path five, which might be the most universally enjoyed form of movement on the planet. The ultimate exercise disguised as pure fun.
It has to be. It's such a massive mood lifter. Whether it's structured like salsa or hip hop or you're
just freestyling in your kitchen.
Yeah, it engages your core, works major muscle groups, and just brightens your whole outlook.
In Beyond the Mood Boost, Pidcock emphasizes that dancing is phenomenal for coordination, for balance, skills that are so important for health and mobility, especially as we get older.
And then for path six, Pidcock gets really practical and addresses convenience.
Workout videos at home.
The barrier to entry here is basically zero. No gym, no travel time, total privacy. And the variety now is just massive. You've got HIIT, Pilates, dance, yoga.
And you can find a great 20 or 30 minute video that just fits right into your schedule. That convenience is a huge driver of consistency. It removes one of the biggest excuses people have.
Okay, now before I move on to strategies, Pidcock throws in a surprise bonus path, a number seven.
Yes, the practical path. Yard work and active hobbies.
Well, so this stuff really counts.
Oh, the source is very clear. Gardening, heavy yard work, even washing the car with some energy, it absolutely counts as fitness. You're lifting, you're squatting, you're moving, your heart rate is up.
It's a total win-win. Fitness and you get chores done. It completely changes your idea of what counts as exercise.
It does.
This is such a wealth of options. And if you want to get the full context for all these paths with specific examples and techniques, now is a great time to check out the source itself.
Absolutely. We highly recommend you visit www.pidcock.com right now. See the resources they have to help you bring these paths into your own life. So we have the philosophy. We have the seven dynamic paths. But the big question is still there. How do you keep going?
How do you maintain momentum?
Right. Because if we look at the big picture, burnout and boredom are the two giant hurdles for anyone trying to stick with a fitness routine long term.
Which is why this next section on strategies for consistency is, I would argue, the most crucial part of the entire Pidcock framework.
The main principle is so simple. Variety equals motivation. By mixing it up, you keep things exciting, you stop your muscles from getting too used to one thing, and you get a much more well-rounded, holistic kind of movement.
So cycling one day, maybe some gardening the next, then a home yoga video.
Exactly. That novelty is key. It prevents that Groundhog Day feeling you can get from rigid workout plans.
Okay, so on a practical level, what does that mean? Pidcock boils it down to six actionable strategies for making fitness stick.
The first one is the foundation we've been talking about. Pick what you enjoy most and make it a weekly anchor. If you love tennis, make sure that's on your schedule. Enjoyment is the fuel.
Number two is about respecting that time. Schedule it like a protected appointment. No skipping.
Mm-hmm. When you block it out in your calendar, it moves from a should do to a non-negotiable part of your day. If it's in the calendar, it happens.
Third, track your progress. This one is so motivating.
It really is. Whether you use an app or just a notebook, seeing how far you've come is just. It's incredible. Oh. It gives you tangible proof that you are getting stronger, that your stamina is improving.
Number four uses a powerful social driver. Join friends or groups.
Movement is just more fun together. A hiking group, a tennis partner. It provides that external accountability that can be so crucial. It turns a solo chore into a social event you look forward to.
Fifth's what we just talked about. Embrace variety. try different things. The combo approach keeps your body guessing.
And it prevents boredom. It also helps prevent overuse injuries, which is a big deal if you only ever do one thing.
And finally, number six, and this is so important for your own psychology, celebrate the small wins.
Yes. Did you cycle an extra quarter mile, nail a new dance move, spend a whole hour weeding?
High five yourself. Acknowledge that effort. That's what builds that positive reinforcement loop that keeps you going.
Now, to make sure this is a really complete guide for you, we have to quickly cover safety. Movement should be joyful, but it also has to be smart.
Right. Pitcott gives 5 critical safety tips to make sure you're moving intelligently and protecting your body for the long haul.
First, choose proper gear. And this isn't about fashion. It's about injury prevention.
A good helmet for biking, sunblock for being outdoors.
Supportive shoes for jogging or dancing. The right gear really protects your joints, and honestly, it improves your performance.
Second is about respecting your muscles. Warm up and cool down.
Always. A good warm-up gets blood flowing to your muscles, prepares them for work, and it seriously reduces the risk of pulls or tears. And the cool down helps your heart rate come down gradually.
Prevents a lot of soreness, too.
Yeah.
Okay, third, listen to your body.
This is so important. Rest when you need to. Rest is not failure. It's a strategic part of training. Pushing through sharp pain is a fast track to a serious injury.
And then you're sidelined, which defeats the whole purpose. Okay, number four, hydrate.
A simple one, but critical, especially when you're sweating. Dehydration just kills your performance, makes you tired. It's non-negotiable for energy and recovery.
And the fifth safety tip is about managing your own expectations. Start slow and build up. There's just no need to jump into a marathon on day one. Consistency at a low intensity is always, always better than one killer session that leaves you too sore to move for a week.
Build your confidence first, then you can build intensity.
Exactly.
So to wrap up our deep dive, the main insight from Pitcott is that fitness really doesn't have to be a burden. The choice is yours.
Biking, dancing, yard work.
It all counts. It all matters as long as it makes you smile. This framework gives you the tools to choose your own path to active happiness and stick with it.
The goal isn't just a number on a scale. It's creating a life where movement is just.
Yeah.
It's integrated, it's anticipated, and it's enjoyed.
Precisely. And we want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. The key question isn't, how hard should I work out today?
But maybe, when was the last time I tried something new that made me genuinely smile while I was moving? Let that excitement, that sense of discovery, be what drives you. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. If you want more details, more strategies, and the full context, please make sure you visit www.pitcott.com today.
And we also ask that you subscribe to our channel if you haven't yet, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so other people can find it too. Thank you for being there with us. Thank you for listening to the Pitcott podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.